Welcome to the Feminine Frequency Podcast. I'm your host, Amy, from Amy Natalie Co., spiritual teacher, mindset coach, and speaker. I'm here to remind you how to tap into your feminine frequency to elevate your relationships, attract more money, and feel confident in your body. Each week, I'll be sharing wisdom from guest experts and guided meditations, along with my favorite spiritual mindset techniques, so that you can access abundance, love, and manifest a life that is in alignment with your soul's true desires. Let's do this, sister. Hello and welcome to the Feminine Frequency Podcast. I am so grateful to have you here today. I've had so many incredible interviews over these last few weeks for the podcast, and I'm just really grateful for the community and the women that I get to meet. Well, not just women, but women and men that I get to meet from around the world for these guest interviews. And today's interview is with Julie Parker, and I'm going to share all about her in just a moment. I am excited to announce that I have rebranded my private Facebook community. So some of you already know about the Confidence Collective community, which has been my private Facebook group for the last year and a half. And we have over 1,400 women in that community. And in the past 6 months or so, I've been going through a really big evolution in my own growth and seeing a lot of growth for my clients, and have been feeling the desire to recreate the online space, the online community, and shift the branding and the messaging and the name. So the new name for the Facebook group is called the Empowered Feminine Community, and I'm going to be sharing some exclusive video trainings in there. We're going to be doing live Q&As, spontaneous dance parties. I'm going to be pulling oracle cards, sharing some thought-provoking journal prompts and questions. And really, it's a space for us to connect more intimately, for you to get to feel my energy, and for us to connect more deeply, and for us to interact. You know, on the podcast, I can't see you, I can't hear you. On Instagram, obviously, you can comment and you can like my photos, but really in the Facebook community, we can connect in a deeper way, and you can connect with other really like-minded women who are on their personal development journey. So the Empowered Feminine Community is really all about feeling empowered in your mindset so that you can feel empowered in your purpose, in your business, with money, in your relationships, and also to continue deepening your connection to your feminine energy, to embody your feminine essence. So that's where we're going in the Facebook community, and you can join for free by scrolling down in the show notes and clicking the link to join. There's just a few short questions and then you can join for free. And I look forward to welcoming you into that community and connecting with you in a new capacity. Also, if it's easier, you can head on over to Instagram and you can find the link in my bio. You can find me at Amy Natalie Co. on Instagram. Come on over, follow, say hello. I would love to connect with you over there. All right. So our episode for today is with Julie Parker, who is the founder of the Beautiful You Coaching Academy, where she passionately trains heart-centered people to become life coaches. As the co-founder of Priestess Temple School, a global movement devoted to uplifting modern-day priestesses as they explore sacred leadership and service in the 21st century. Julie is committed to contributing to a world where presence, healing, and social justice are honored. She has trained with high priestesses and modern day mystery schools from all over the world, and she's inspired thousands of people as an in-demand speaker, sacred circle holder, priestess, and flower essence practitioner, and is the recipient of numerous leadership and women's awards. She's also the host of the top-ranking Priestess podcast. Julie has interviewed some of the world's great spiritual thought leaders and has committed spiritual practice that honors her Celtic lineage, connection to the great mother and self. So You're going to get to experience Julie in this interview. And this was actually a new topic for me. I haven't really explored the realm of the priestess. So I learned a lot from this conversation, and I know you will too. Enjoy this interview. We'll see you on the other side. Hello, Julie. Welcome to the Feminine Frequency Podcast, all the way from Australia. I'm so grateful to have you here.
Oh, well, thank you very much for the invitation, Amy. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, it's so beautiful that we have this opportunity to connect all around the world. Last night, I taught a masterclass online, and we had some people from Australia, from people New Zealand, people all over the States. And I just think that while there's a lot of, you know, resistance that we can have to technology, that it also provides such a beautiful global connection that we have access to. So I'm grateful for that today.
I am grateful for that ongoing, particularly over the last, you know, 12 and plus months of our lives. I think we probably all have a little bit of Zoom fatigue in some way or another, but my goodness, the alternative is not worth thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So here we are, and I am really looking forward to introducing a new topic, new archetype to our listeners today, specifically around the modern day priestess. So I'd love to start there. What activated you in your journey, or what was the piece that drew you to this work of the priestess?
Well, it came as an enormous surprise and, in fact, a bit of a shock, if I'm being very honest. It was not something that I was consciously exploring or expecting to have happen in my life. But I was actually interviewing someone at the time when this began to unfold for me, a really amazing woman who ran a successful business as a coach. I'm the editor of a magazine. And I was interviewing her for the cover. And I asked her the question during that interview of what it was that she considered to be the greatest learnings or teachings or education that she'd received that supported her in having such a wildly successful international coaching business. And she said there are many things, but the work that had been the most profound for her would be the study and training that she had done in the world of the priestess. And Amy, when she said this word, I had an embodied experience. It was a life-changing moment. This is many years ago now, about seven years ago. I'd never heard the word before. I had obviously heard the word priest, which I think many of us had, but I had never heard the word priestess. But I knew instantly it was not necessarily just a feminine version of the word priest, because I was thinking to myself, now, hang on a second. I don't think that's right, but I didn't actually know what it was. And it was not appropriate for me to start exploring that with her in that interview at that time. But afterwards, I just began to go down this divine Alice in Wonderland style rabbit hole of researching the world of the priestess and trying to get hold of everything that I possibly could about it. And I realized quite quickly as I was doing so that the reason that I was so deeply drawn to it was because I was one, and that I had also come from a lineage of ones too. And so when I found this out, you can imagine when you find these things out about yourself, you just become so much more deeply drawn to the entire world. And that's really where it began for me. And it's not stopped since. And I don't imagine actually that it will for the rest of my life.
Amazing. Yeah, I think it's so fascinating how different paths really resonate for different people. And an example of this might be perhaps astrology, where for me, I find it fascinating and interesting, yet it didn't grasp me. It doesn't do a full body yes for me, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas I have friends who it's like an ancient language that just is part of them and it gets activated at some point, and that's the path they choose to follow. So I love that this is a big piece of your journey and that it only got activated 6 years ago. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about first, if the priestess is not just the feminine version of the priest, how would you describe her or describe that role? Let's start there.
You know, I love this question because I pretty much always know that anyone that might be listening is about to learn something that possibly they didn't know, because 6-7 years ago, I certainly did. Amy, if you were to ask 100 priestesses from around the world what a priestess is, you would probably get different answers. There would likely be common threads that would weave between all of them. However, they most definitely would not all be the same. However, my research, the book that I've written now, the personal work that I've done in this world has me come to a belief and understanding that a priestess is a sacred spiritual leader. At its heart, that is what a priestess is. And so whether someone actually deeply resonates with it or not, doesn't necessarily mean a predictor that they are one, because I'm quite certain that there are many women out there that are embodying this archetype and world of the priestess and don't even necessarily know it. They are sacred circle leaders. They are spiritual business coaches. They are Reiki healers. They are crystal mavens. They are plant earth, medicine, magic, witchy women. They are all sorts of things within the spiritual realms, but see them take on a leadership role of some kind. And in particular, the next connecting part of this role is that whatever it is that they do in that leadership role, more often than not, they are helping other people, particularly other women, see the divinity and the sacredness within themselves. So they're the two major parts. They are sacred spiritual leaders, and their work helps other people see the divine within them. That is what a priestess is to me, and in fact, always has been, because this is not something that is new. This is an ancient role and form of wisdom that women have carried for thousands of years. And so, as you can see from that definition, it has nothing to do with the priesthood. It has nothing to do with the Catholic Church. It has nothing to do with an organized religion. And in fact, the world and magic and spirit and leadership of the priestess existed thousands of years before the priesthood.
Sounds like you've done your extensive research into the history of the priestess.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely. That is the history geek in me coming out. And I think that that work and that research is so, so important if we want this to be grounded in a modern reality and a modern form of leadership that can actually help us all rise and heal the planet and ourselves and each other. Otherwise, we do run the risk of it just kind of floating out there in the ether and not really having a solid, grounded reality of what it truly is. And that's one of the things that I love about the priestess path, is that it is very grounded. It is very real. This is not just something that we've plucked from anywhere and kind of gone, oh, yes, pop a flower crown on, I'm a priestess, sort of thing. It's a great deal more reality-based than that.
Yeah, I love that, bringing it down into the 3D, not just in the 5D.
Yeah, exactly. It's important to have portals to both, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like all the way up and down too.
Yes, 100%. So prior to your priestess work, what was your path before then? Were you on your own spiritual path? Were you doing any work as a spiritual leader in any way? How would you describe before you discovered the priestess?
Well, my professional career began as a mental health clinician and social worker, and I worked for many years in the community with young people and their families who were experiencing all sorts of issues from mental illness to intergenerational incarceration, domestic violence, eating disorders, school issues, all sorts of things. And I absolutely loved that work. But then eventually I started to become quite burnt out. I didn't take care of myself very well during that time. And I eventually found coaching after having a deep rest. Now, this is a long time ago, Amy. This is a long time ago. Like, we're coming up to, for me, being 19 years in the coaching industry now. So I'm a little bit of a dinosaur when it comes to that. You know, there's a lot of new coaches around, which is so wonderful and exciting, but I'm kind of part of the old school and have been around for a really long time, which I feel very proud of. And, you know, I could tell you in answer to your question that that was life before the priestess. And when I had that embodied experience 6.5, almost 7 years ago now, from then on, it's been the priestess. But realistically, that's actually not true, because when I look back now, and I'm sure that there are going to be many, many women that come to this path that would experience the same, I actually realized that I was priestessing in those times. I was a sacred leader in those times. I was on my own spiritual path in those times and supporting other people to see their own divinity. It's just that I didn't know that that's what I was doing. And so my conscious awareness of it has been around in the last, you know, shorter period of time, and is definitely with me now. But truth be told, it existed a long time before then. I just didn't have the language and understanding to know what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for, to me, that sounds like an awakening of some sort. I'm sure we have many different awakenings in our lifetime, but for those of you who are maybe new to the word awakening or the experience of awakening, it's when the veil is lifted, when we see something that we just couldn't see before or didn't have access to in our consciousness before, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't there. And the cool thing about awakenings, some people think it's maybe not great, but is that you can't unsee it. It's once it's been revealed, once it's been unveiled, it is a part of you. It is a new awareness that you have, and you can't really go backwards, which is kind of crazy.
You can't. You are so right about that. You can't unsee what you've seen. You can't unfeel what you feel. You can't unknow what you know. Mm-hmm. And you might not necessarily feel comfortable about it or even like it or understand it to begin with, but that still doesn't make it not real. Mm-hmm. That's called denial, isn't it? You know, we can try and push these things aside as much as we want, but ultimately in the end, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. So another element of this spiritual leadership and the priestess is feminine wisdom, ancient feminine wisdom. And I would love for you to speak into this beautiful wisdom, which to me, what I see and what we've talked about quite a bit on the podcast here is that the type of wisdom or the type of intellect that is valued in Western culture in our modern society is logic. It is the intellectual IQ, not your EQ or your intuition or the feminine wisdom of the body. And so I feel like for a lot of women and including myself, this feminine wisdom is being reawakened. It's starting to be looked at as valuable again, be seen as something that's a gift, that's a strength. So I'd love for you to speak into, you know, what is the sacred feminine wisdom that is coming back online that we all have within us?
Mm. Well, what is it not is really
is really the
big question here, I think. And I love, Amy, that you used the word there, reawakened, because this is not new. Feminine wisdom, intuition, our psychic abilities, our nurturing, our caring embodiment everything that we feel and can tap into powerfully in our body. None of these things are new. They may feel new to us as women in the bodies that we are in this particular human lifetime and form, but the wisdom that we carry inside of us and that is a part of our DNA has been with us for hundreds of generations and thousands of years. It might have been laying dormant inside many of us for a long time due to so many things, the patriarchy, societal conditioning, capitalism, white supremacy, so many oppressive systems that we have been traversing now for such a long time. But it is most definitely reawakening because this is ancient wisdom. The world of the priestess in ancient times through all cultures of the world, Chinese, Egyptian, Celtic, Inuit, Irish, so many. I mean, I could just rattle them all off, Roman, Greek, existed in the form of the priestess in so many ways. This feminine wisdom held women in those times in positions of leadership that saw them not just working in, but actually honored and revered for things such as their intuitive abilities, their oracular abilities, their clairvoyance, their wisdom and magic with plants, animals, the unseen worlds, the unseen realms. And within all of that as well, the qualities and characteristics of non-hierarchical community and leadership, caring, love, nurturance, respect and honor for all. All of these things, everything from the planet to children to fellow women, the sisterhood, men, old people, you know, the wisdom of the elderly, honored, loved, cherished at these times. And I think many of us can think and sit with that for a moment to see that that is not something that we do these days. But hopefully, as part of this feminine wisdom that is awakening inside all of us, we can reclaim all parts of this. And that's just one of those parts, you know, respect for Mother Earth, honoring children as sacred, independent individual beings that they are, and not just little creatures to be molded into what we want them to be or versions of us, but seeing them as a soul entity all unto themselves right from the very time that they're born. I mean, Amy, this is just a portal, my love. We could go in, it's so rich, it's so deep, but that is what it is top line. It is all of, let's just call a spade here, the forms of leadership and skills and abilities that we do not see in the highest powers and echelons of leadership today when we think about presidents, prime ministers, politicians. There are rumblings of change in different ways. You know, sometimes I think about the New Zealand Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, and every now and again I see her say something or do something and I go, ooh, wow, okay, there's some hope there. There's you know, there's different leadership coming through, shining through there. And I know that there are others, but on the whole, this is not a form of leadership that is respected or revered, particularly because it doesn't have at its core the making of money or a real focus on power or power over others. It's about internal power. It's about what's happening inside of me and how can I consciously use that in a way that is going to be of service to others and the planet. And when I say that, and I think to myself about this rising, I can only hope and pray that soon in generations to come, we will have that form of leadership in the highest corridors and powers that be throughout the world. Again, we did once upon a time. It looked very different to what it looks now. And I believe we can again, but it's going to take us all.
Yeah, it is such a different type of leadership. And like you said, if we really even use the word, the business term, return on investment or ROI, that the focus in capitalism and in Western culture is everything has to lead to that productivity, income, increasing the amount of money that we're making. And that has, and the power, like you mentioned as well, those are primal focuses for any even corporate leadership position or any type of entity that is that we see currently that has a lot of influence, right? So this more sacred leadership, if we were to dive into that a little bit more, how would you differentiate the values of sacred leadership, or how would the sacred leadership be different to that than what we're currently seeing modeled?
Yeah, well, let's remain in the business realm because, you know, I am a businesswoman and an entrepreneur myself, and that just like you, and just like I'm sure many of your listeners. And this means that for those businesses to thrive and function, they have to make money. And so the first thing I want to say is that this is not about shying away from that, right? This is not about saying that work in the spiritual or helping or service realms is not worthy of payment. It absolutely and 100% is, and it's worthy of good payment and good energetic exchange. The difference here is that as well as needing to focus on energetically the creation of money for us all to be able to thrive as female business owners, which is very important because let's face it, money in the hands of women is a very, very powerful thing. And what we can do with money to shift and change the world, I think is different to where we see money being centralized and held today. And this then leads into those sacred aspects of leadership. Where it's different is that it's not just all about ROI and more, and more subscribers and more clients and more money. It's actually thinking about things such as how can I thrive as a woman in this business? How can I take care of myself? How can I get sufficient rest and love and connection and support to be able to show up as the sacred leader that I need to be to inspire others? How can my work make a difference in the world? How can I make a difference in the world? Not just on a grand scale, but in fact, person by person, decision by decision, moment by moment. How can I do this work where I lift people up and not tear them down? And before I then feel like they're broken or want to break them and then make them think that they need me to work with them. And we see this even in website copy and things that people share on social media all the time. Like, that is not sacred leadership. Sacred leadership is about seeing all people as both whole and healing, and that they do not need us, but simply that we might be somebody that they desire to resonate with. That's a very, very different thing to selling and pitching and marketing to people in such a way where we make them think and feel, oh, you need me. And if you don't work with me, you're never going to achieve your goals or your dreams. That's a wrong, that's a no-no. I mean, there are just so many different things and ways. It's about in your business being actively anti-racist, anti-homophobic, making sure that the decisions that you make, which could be everything from the paper that you buy to the events that you attend, are consciously taking care of the planet and are diverse and uplift and support people who identify as Black, Brown, Indigenous, people of colour, different diversities of gender, sexuality, neurodiversity. These are things that sacred leaders take into account in their businesses. These are things that they think about because, Amy, they're conscious. They are awake or awakening and wanting to do more and better beyond just making money.
Amazing. And I'm seeing such a huge shift right now in not just the coaching industry, but in marketing in general. And I think it's just starting to happen, but really shifting from this place of the power over and the convincing or the sales psychology to get people to buy versus the heart-centered connection of being in service, which doesn't mean, like you said earlier, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Either you can be in service and do good, or you can make money. I think there's this possibility that for both. And definitely seeing, I think I would say even in the last 6 months with everything going on in the world, or even the last year, that there is a big shift in the way that people are even responding to marketing and sales. Even the methods that I've learned over the past 3 years as an online business owner, they don't feel resonant for me anymore. They don't feel true for me anymore. They don't feel aligned with my values and who I am. And so it's a very interesting transition. And I think that a lot of people are being called forward to this type of leadership as business owners and as healers.
Absolutely. Everything that you say there is so very true. There is a shift, there is a change. And I truly believe that those that are not getting on board are quite literally, I know it sounds like a bit of a dramatic thing to say, but they're going to be left behind. If your business does not really take a stand for important matters and doing the right thing by all people and uplifting marginalized folk and really actively trying to make a difference in the world, eventually that is going to stand out as a problem. It really is. I think it already is in many, many ways. We don't exist in vacuums, mm-hmm. and we can't have really horrible things happening around us in the world in day-to-day lives and living and ways of being and not actually address and speak to those in our businesses. This was not always the way it was. You know, I came from a time where sex, politics, religion, you didn't talk about them. Mm-hmm. You didn't go there. In business, even in life or at the dinner table, it's like you don't talk about that sort of stuff. Now we have to talk about those things. We have to, because they deeply impact our lives in so many different ways and the lives of our clients and clients that we're yet to even know. So we have a responsibility to do so.
I love that this was brought to the conversation today, because I did an interview yesterday with another podcast interview yesterday, and this was a main part of the conversation, and we didn't even plan on talking about it. So clearly it's in the consciousness. Clearly it's here to be looked at, to be shared. And it's definitely the new, I don't even want to say, yeah, it is new. It definitely is a new way of leading in a business. And I'm really grateful that we get to have these powerful conversations to open the doorway. We're really just in the beginning stages. I think there's so much work to be done in my business. I think in all businesses to really adjust to the new paradigm or really step into the new paradigm. And I couldn't agree with you more that there will be people left behind. We're already seeing, which I don't necessarily agree with cancel culture, but we are seeing people being called out for not being aligned with certain values and showing up in ways that might not be as socially responsible. And I'm not specifically talking about one instance that I've seen, and I don't agree with cancel culture the way that it's being done. And people are being called forward in a whole new way. So
absolutely they are. Yeah. And there is a difference between being called out and called in. Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge believer in people being called in. Mm-hmm. But many, many times, the level of defensiveness and reaction around that is what prevents change. And so that's something that we all have to look at. And it's not easy. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to have a mirror held up to them if it doesn't show them what they want. Mm-hmm. No one likes that. No one likes it. Let's just mm-hmm. face it. You know, we live in a world, particularly as women, where so many oppressive systems have taught us that it is imperative that we are perfect, exemplary, that we never make mistakes, that we could never be called out or in for anything bad or wrong, or heavens forbid somebody should call us racist or a bad mother or, you know, a terrible friend or any of those things. I mean, that just pings our hearts so bad. And I'm not saying that that's what people need to be called in any way. It's just an example. Mm-hmm. But we have to get over that. We have to get over those things and go, okay, what am I being shown here? That is true leadership. Mm-hmm. Instead of reacting defensively and shutting down or slamming back at people, it's like, okay, hang on a second. Let me take a breath here. What am I being shown? What is the lesson here? What might I need to learn? What maybe do I need to unpack, and how can I do that with self-love and self-compassion mm-hmm. and not beat myself up along the way, but instead consciously look at it and grow?
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah. Personal responsibility. Where can I take responsibility for my part, and instead of the defensiveness? And, you know, I definitely think, the way that it is presented is sometimes a natural reaction is going to be resistance, because it's resistance meeting resistance. And like you said, if there's that deep breath and that space to really connect and come back in a different, with a different approach and being willing to look at it, I think that's where the change really happens. So
amazing. Beautiful. I agree.
Yeah. So for women who are curious about the path of the priestess, or, you know, sacred leadership and feminine wisdom, and want to keep learning from you, I believe that you said that you do have a book. Is there any other resources that you would recommend at this time?
Yeah, thank you, Amy. I do have a book. It's called Priestess: Ancient Spiritual Wisdom for Modern Sacred Women. And I'm also the co-founder with my beautiful priestess sister, Sora Schilling, of Priestess Temple School. And people can just find us at priestesstempleschool.com. And there are now so many extraordinary things. I mean, the world of the web. 7 years ago, when I typed in the word priestess, there were some things come up, but not really an enormous amount. There is now so much more. And I, for one, am so thrilled about that, because different women will resonate with different things, different guides, different teachers. And particularly if they happen to come from a certain cultural background, which of course we all do, it's often very wonderful to find guides and healers and teachers and priestesses of your own cultural lineage. And that is something that's going to be even more deeply powerful. I know for me, with a Celtic lineage, that finding teachers and guides in that space was very, very powerful for me on my path. So that's something I highly recommend that people explore.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing your wisdom with us and your generosity. What I experience from you is just so much love when I feel your heart and just experience your generosity, sharing your time and wisdom here and your ways of being. It just feels so loving and warm and nurturing. So thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
It's a pleasure, Amy. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks again for joining me for this episode of the Feminine Frequency Podcast with Julie Parker. If you have not come on over to join the Empowered Feminine Community, my private Facebook group, I encourage you to scroll down in the show notes and click on the link to join me over there in an intimate online space where I get to connect with you on a deeper level, and where there's going to be a ton of free content and a like-minded community for you to connect with. So head on over to join the Empowered Feminine Community. I'll see you in there, and would like to give you a personal welcome when you join. And if you enjoyed this episode of the Feminine Frequency Podcast, please share it with a friend or share it on social media. You can take a screenshot and share it in your stories. You can tag me at Amy Natalie Co. I would absolutely love to hear from you. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day, and we'll see you in the next episode for an intuitive flow conversation. Have a good day.